And good morning, Terraheads. Good morning, Upstate. Welcome to 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and, of course, 106.3WORD.com. And great to have you with us. 7 minutes now past 8 a.m. on this Tuesday, the 13th. Yes, Friday the 13th came on a Tuesday this month, so you just never know. And we are happy to be joined by our paragon of professional truth, Lee Rogers. Good morning, Lee.
Oh, you're talking about me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was talking about you, of course, sir.
A little too elevated for my...
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway.
You know, I was just noting the assaults that have taken place on Tucker Carlson, to be sure, on his home, his car, his driveway, and now the verbal assault on his daughter. But, of course, that's merely the tip of the iceberg. There are so many people out there who have felt this in one way or another. And as I noted yesterday, I'll guarantee you that in relatively conservative Upstate, if you were to wear a MAGA hat like Benton Blount into any number of places in the Greenville-Spartanburg area, you would not be welcome. And it would be shown.
Well, there may be a few places. I don't think that... I'm not sure you'd get kicked off the tour.
But, yeah, it's not that it's always that extreme, but it does happen.
Well, I'll be honest with you. There are several liberals within this building that work here, and for the most part, we coexist. There haven't been any disturbances down the hall or in the conference room or anywhere else. I mean, you know, folks are trying to be respectful and understand that everybody has different political opinions, and we try to keep it that way.
Yeah, and it's a good thing, and you're absolutely right. There are differing opinions, and they're kept that way. But we have reached a point, I think, with some people where enforcement of the law is paramount, and I note the unwillingness of so many authorities to enforce the law. Yeah. The classic example being the Baltimore mayor who told firefighters, let the fires burn, during the most recent disturbance there a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And of course, the situation we've got down in the Florida recounts now, where you have county officials who have not, met the deadlines that under Florida law they're required to have. And it just stuns me. I was looking at some stuff last night on some of the social media sites, and it's the left is incredulous that these Republicans are making these claims without any evidence. I'm sorry. When you have a director of elections in a particular county that does not meet a state deadline for counting votes, that is evidence. That is not something that some Republican is making up. That is a statement of fact. You know, if the deadline is such and such and you don't meet it, then you are in violation. That's a fact. That is not something that is open for discussion.
Or it shouldn't be. But I'm afraid there are a lot of people in this country who look on voter fraud as sort of electoral affirmative action.
Yeah.
And who think that some laws, like laws against robbery and rape, those are laws and they should be enforced as such. But laws against voting illegally or entering the country illegally, these are sort of suggestions and they were made by racist, sexist, Islamophobic, homophobic, this phobic, that phobic people. And we really shouldn't treat them seriously. And that's an unfortunate attitude.
Yes. And we also have a government. And I think that this is filtered down from federal through the state and into some counties and municipalities that is just tolerant of certain groups that are allowed to do or say certain things while other groups are not allowed to say or do similar things.
Yeah. And again, that's a form of, I suppose, behavioral affirmative action.
Well, I think it's the concept of social justice.
Yeah.
That there are socially inhibited groups and they must be allowed to profess or to say or to do things that allow them to vent their frustration over the social injustices that they have had to endure.
Yeah. And again, no, that's not the way it works. It is not payback time for any prior injustices that occurred in this country. We're supposed to try and minimize all types of injustice. I have to ask you this, as I've admitted this on the air, I've lost a couple of friends, I'm pretty sure, over this election. Have you had any relationships, either family or friends or coworkers, who the relationship was damaged by virtue of this election?
I will say a qualified yes. I have some folks that I went to high school with that I obviously am not on the same political side, but I've not like defriended them. Nor, of course, I'm not one of those who is constantly on social media responding to every what I consider to be crazed utterance by the left. I try to refrain from that. And I just let them vent and say what they want. And then when I see them put up a nice picture I like, I said, hey, I like this.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
I do have a relative that I am very close to saying, okay, dude, I'm sorry, but I can't put up with this anymore. Knowing that, you know, there's actual blood connection there.
Are you likely to see these people in the next few days of Thanksgiving?
No. These are our relatives that, and they're wonderful folks, and I really, you know, I do value they're intelligent people, though extremely misguided, obviously. But sadly, I probably would not see them until the next family funeral, if you get my drift.
I certainly do. Yes, absolutely. I got a few people like that as well. 13 minutes past 8 o'clock here on 106.3 WORD. And I have a thing with friends of mine, Lee. I try very hard, if in fact we differ, and I have a number of liberal friends, that we agree to disagree, that we just don't talk about that. We talk about the weather. We talk about the kids and grandkids, sports, anything.
Well, I think so many times the problem is that we start off with personal attacks. And when I say we, I'm talking collectively. I'm certainly not talking, you know, my side of it. But I'm just simply saying that much of the time the discussion is, you know, let's say something is as divisive and nasty as we can about one political person or another that's in the news. And so many times we don't talk about the policy. I'm a policy wonk kind of guy. I have always been. I want to discuss policy. That, you know, to me, there are certain things that Republicans can compromise on. Unfortunately, for almost every Democrat, compromise is the concept that you give me everything I want, you don't get anything, and that's the compromise.
Yes, exactly. As John Kennedy once said of Khrushchev, what's yours is yours, and what's ours is negotiable.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's and then I see a very similar attitude, particularly with Democrats in Capitol Hill. And I think that that's exactly the attitude that we're going to see with this next Congress and the House of Representatives. And that's why I think that absolutely nothing is going to get done legislatively.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
You're going to have completely unreasonable and in my side's opinion, nut job things where, oh, let's open up 85 different investigations onto everything we can do and find nasty about anybody about Trump or anyone that's ever associated with him or related to him or ever done business with him. And that's going to be our primary focus. You know, the heck with tax reform, you know, doing something about Obamacare, health care, any other issue that really affects people.
Yeah.
And then you'll have, obviously, the president's veto power and the Senate's, ability, hopefully, to nullify anything that the left-wing folks over in the House are going to be doing.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of that, I'm afraid, before this is all done. Lee Rogers, as always, thank you so much for sharing, sir.
Thank you, sir.
The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, and we got Joseph in Greenville to chat. Good morning, Joseph.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I feel sorry for Tucker and his family, but you cannot throw something at somebody, wine, a hammer, a brick, just because they say something you don't like. I remember watching a video a couple months ago of a kid in a restaurant with a MAGA hat. Some idiot came up and threw something in his face, and I was furious. You can't do that on either side. That's called assault. And I don't understand why people feel like they have to go and stick their nose at other people's business. And they're going to flip a hat off of someone or throw wine in somebody's face. They're going to pull out a gun and blow them away. That's what's going to happen because people won't mind their own business. And I think Tucker's son was wrong. Unfortunately, he will more likely be prosecuted when the guy who did it with the MAGA hat probably will not. That's the trouble I have with the whole situation. Not that he threw the wine in his face. That's wrong. He should be prosecuted.
Well, it's certainly, I think, wrong that he should be prosecuted in view of what was said, what the man said to Tucker's daughter and then repeated it to Tucker's son. The guy should have gotten a fist in the face, quite frankly. And I'll agree with you on the legal liability part. Yes, I can almost guarantee that the creepy scum lawyer, Michael Avenatti, is almost guaranteed to press this issue, and his son may face that kind of charge. It's very possible. It might not have been legally smart, but it was certainly justified. And I would have to wonder if there's a jury in the country that would convict someone after what Tucker's daughter was called.
But Jim, I have to disagree. No verbal assault gives you the right to put your hand on somebody.
I disagree entirely.
They're just words. I mean, I don't care if somebody were to call me whatever. Call me whatever you want. I don't care about your opinion. It doesn't bother me. You get to put your hand on me, that's a different story. But verbally, Jim, I don't see that. I don't think anything verbally is going to, you know, I just don't agree with that.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've got to strenuously disagree. There are verbal assaults that are very serious, and they justify that kind of a response. If I were on a jury, there's no way in the world I would have convicted anybody in the Tucker family of anything. I would have been absolutely one who would have voted his not guilty till the day is done. Absolutely. No, there are levels of language that go beyond that. Even the law recognizes things like fighting words, for example. And I have to seriously disagree. I really do. No, some words go beyond that. And this guy went about as far as you could go.
I respect that. I'm just, my personal opinion is if you don't touch me, you're fine. You know, yes, that's cool.
Well, I understand that. If someone had called your daughter this and then repeated it to you, I have to wonder, Joseph, if you would have maintained that viewpoint. I know I would not. Maybe that makes you a better man than me. I don't know. But it certainly makes you different in that regard. To call me would be different from referring to my daughter that way. Yeah.
I'm not a better man than you are, but no, I would have walked away because, again, if you don't touch me, if you touch me, I will destroy you. But words will not make me do that, sir.
Well, okay. Again, we'll see how this plays out, and I understand your viewpoint. It's not my own, but I do understand the viewpoint. And from a legal standpoint, I would wonder whether the concept of fighting words enters into this picture. But you can certainly face major charges if you were to wear, let's say, an N-word T-shirt to an NAACP rally. Those would be considered fighting words, and it goes on beyond that. 1-800-347-1063 is our number, and I appreciate your thoughts. I really do. Anything else you wanted to add, Joseph? I guess not. All right. Appreciate your call. As I say, that's just not my viewpoint, and I understand where he's coming from, and as I say, the law can be kind of funny about stuff like this. One would hope that Tucker Carlson's son will face zero charges. But, again, there are levels of language that dictate some kind of a response. Sorry, but that's just the way I feel. Criminal justice system is in place to protect the criminals. Without the law, people turn to vigilante justice. That is an extremely important text that I just read from the the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Criminal justice system is in place to protect the criminals. Without the law, people turn to vigilante justice. That is very true. There have been times in this country when vigilante justice was justified because it was the only justice available. You talk about the law in the Old West. In many cases, there was no law except on a book somewhere hundreds of miles away, in which case there was vigilante justice, and it was rough and it was often inaccurate, but it was better than no justice at all. As a general rule, vigilante justice is not a good idea, but people will engage in such if they are convinced that their person, their families, their property is endangered, and the law will do nothing to protect them. And that's something authorities might want to consider as well, as they try to be oh so delicate and oh so politically correct and oh so non-confrontational. The law is supposed to be confrontational to keep the rest of us from getting confrontational. That's the purpose, is to keep this thing from getting out of hand. And the law is playing with fire if it genuinely believes it can allow some segments of this population to target other segments in rude, crude, ill-mannered, subhuman, semi-literate ways. No, we are not just going to sit back and take it. And the law might think seriously about the ramifications of that. Profanity in public, by the way, is against the law as well. Notes another texter. Jimbo asked him about those kids who are bullied on the online and have killed themselves. Well, I'm sure that the caller would not be in favor of anyone killing themselves or in favor of cyberbullying, but your point is well taken. Words matter. Words matter. It says another texter, explain fighting words a little more, please, and I'm not a lawyer enough to be able to do that. I simply know that there are words which, if considered fighting words, can, in a courtroom, justify more action than maybe other words might have justified. I don't know the entire history of the fighting words concept, nor how it is applied in various jurisdictions and various courts, but just such a concept exists, and I wish I could give you a more detailed answer than that. Another texter, as the old saying goes, if you want to know what a man is really made of, screw with his family. Enough said. Well, that would be my take. That would be my take. And I find this behavior unacceptable on the part of authorities and the punks. And let's see what all we got here. That man is full of caca, is what one texter has to say. I understand his viewpoint. Jim, you are right. Bust his face. That guy is a coward. No, I'm not going to disparage the caller. I'll take him at his word that he considers actions to be one thing and words to be another. But as other texters have noted, there are words which are in fact not allowed in discourse and which do change your standing in a court of law. And that's an important thing to consider. Jimbo, that caller is 100% wrong. It is illegal to verbally harass someone in public and try to start a fight even with only words. And I believe that that is correct in every jurisdiction in the country. So, yeah, but of course the caller was merely stating what his reaction would be. So I understand, again, the point of view. I'm just not prepared to be quite as tolerant, I guess, as others are. Profanity in public is against the law as well. That's defamation of character. Let's see. Don't forget that Maxine Waters, a woman who couldn't run a cash register at a Dollar Tree, is now in charge of the House Finance Committee on a different subject. But yes, Mama Doc, as I refer to her, because of her history of lengthy and serious ethics violations. Yes, that's very true. That's very true. Other texts who texters who are offering their thoughts today. Jimbo seen this the other day. Envy was once one of the seven deadly sins. Now it's called social justice. That's true. Yes, that's absolutely true. Envy has become an officially socially acceptable goal in life, or if you will, a means to an end. And anything that you do to further the acquisition of what it is that you're envious of is therefore acceptable if you are, I don't know, in the right group in our society. Not for other groups. They're not allowed. But yes, if you're in the right groups in society, you're allowed. All right. 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. And again, would someone please get on the appropriate people out there to try and do something about the issue of paying tax dollars to schools which essentially teach people to be uncivilized barbarians. Something needs to be done about that. It's just not acceptable that we shovel tax dollars in the direction of this kind of behavior. You've got to have some control, some accountability of the public spending process, and it doesn't include subsidizing efforts to destroy our society. It does not include that, or it should not. It escapes me how politicians can miss on that, because it's an automatic winning effort, if you just go forth and do the best you can to see to it that state tax dollars are not spent for the purpose of subsidizing the tearing down of society. This doesn't seem like it's asking too much. I mean, really, it just doesn't seem like it's asking too much. I have to wonder how far this all goes. I really do. Will there be a backlash? One would hope so. I don't think that people intrinsically enjoy this kind of behavior, and even people who might, for example, agree with the politics of some of these folks, I would think would be distressed, maybe even horrified at this kind of behavior. We seem to have lost all impulse control. And any effort being made at teaching people impulse control, well, you're engaging in cultural aggression. You're engaging in actions of cultural intimidation. You're challenging people's self-esteem. All the appropriate BS buzzwords of the day. I have to think that at some point there will be a public backlash. But I'm not sure that waiting for it is it's not a good good betting. I think to see how long it's going to go. If you were to ask me, will it turn around in 5 years or 10 years? I don't know. But at some point, it has to turn around, and no organized society can march down this road without at some point having second thoughts about it. We've got to get rid of this notion that people are not accountable for their behavior. Yes, they are accountable, and there are very few excuses for that accountability. Mental deficiency is one of them, but that, of course, does not mean that you get a free pass to just walk around and vent. It means that if you're mentally deficient enough, that society has the right and indeed the obligation to restrict you. Otherwise, this notion of just let it all hang out and don't cramp my personal feelings, that's got to stop. At some point, people must be held accountable for their behavior, whether it's profane idiots in bars or whether it is voter registration officials in Broward County, Florida. People have to be held accountable. Another texter, words to someone can be like a two-edged sword, according to the Bible. Words can be a lot of things, there's no question about that, but words evoke more than just the communications of ideas. Words can evoke strong emotions, and that's only fair that they do. I mean, let's face it, we have seen in recent years the erosion of some of those quote, dirty words. You had on a television show, CBS broadcast show, not cable, but a broadcast show. This has been a long time ago, some years ago, on a CBS program. The last words of a certain episode of a drama were, "Caca happens." I've obviously cleaned that up. If we erode away our foul language, we'll have to invent new foul language. But the notion that we shouldn't be concerned about it is a false notion and defies human behavior. Don't call my daughter something of that nature. Just always a pleasure to have a chance to talk with folks and to just give every issue of the day a thorough going over. I have a lot of questions about just where we're going in this country, and I'm sure you have some answers you can provide me, and I'd love to hear what they are, because I'm not sure. I would like to be optimistic, but I don't know. In the long run, I suppose I'm optimistic. Short run, I'm not sure when we will reach the point where there will be a backlash against uncivil, intimidating, and even violent behavior. Not as long as significant portions of our population have the view that while some of us shouldn't engage in that kind of activity, others of us are entitled to because we feel aggrieved. And, of course, those of us who feel aggrieved in turn, well, that doesn't count because we aren't legitimately aggrieved, you see. Until that kind of thinking stops, you're not going to see a stop to this kind of behavior, because if, in fact, some segments of society are more politically correct and more politically acceptable, then the others are fair game. We might as well have a target painted on our backs. And I can assure you, I speak for all of those who would be on that side of the fence as saying, no, we are not going to have targets painted on our back. That's not going to happen. So, 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. Over at the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, we have all kinds of stuff to check out this morning, and I will be interested in seeing just what it is that we come up with as a solution. I don't have any great solutions. I got to be honest with you. I just don't have a lot of solutions. I wish I did, but I'm a little short of solutions. I look at the problems, and I simply am past being able to say, well, here's the answer, short of maybe invoking a magic wand of some sort. I don't have any magic wands. Texter says, if anyone called one of my daughters the C word, it'd be the last time they ate solid food with their natural teeth. Yes, I have to think that would be my view as well. Again, if there are fighting words out there, that would be at the top of the list. Another texter, if words didn't matter, then incitement to riot wouldn't be a crime. Also true. That comes from the concept of words that do matter, and some words matter more than others, and some words can change the status of your situation in a court of law. Yes, 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 and yes, I agree with all of you. I just turned the radio on, was started the best line of discussion. Thank you very much for appreciating my presence here. All right, appreciate it. Let's see, I heard an advertisement on the way to work this morning. Get Insurance South Carolina. I can't find on INA. Could you please send that web address? Well, I don't happen to have the station log in front of me, but perhaps someone can provide that information. All right. And that's from Andy, by the way. If we are to go further, we're going to have to do so, I think, in the standpoint of our young people, the people in the formative years. If people are brought up properly, and that, of course, includes not only good parenting, but also good influences that often run counter to parenting, such as the influences that people get from their peers and even the influences that people get from the educational system. Lifelong habits are formed in the formative years. And goodness knows, there are those who have captured a disproportionate hold of our educational process who have worked very hard to achieve the result that they seem to be achieving, that result being a result of turning young people into self-centered and unknowledgeable idiots who are not fully equipped to deal with a free society, which raises another question that I think we ought to keep in mind here. There are people out there who seem to think that it's just automatic that we have a free society. Hey, that's what we Americans have. That's what we Americans do. This is something that has to be taught. The mindset to deal with other people in a free society and allow respect for the other person's point of view even as you disagree, this is not automatic human behavior. Automatic human behavior is snatch and grab and might makes right. Human behavior is very violent and very selfish. People must be taught to effectively operate in a free society. We've spent half a century of minimizing the amount of teaching that we do. How many kids today take a civics course? Civics course? What's that? Or if they take one, how much of it is spent ripping apart the very country it's supposed to explain? And then we wonder at the results we get? I don't. I don't wonder at all. I think it was obvious. It was inevitable. And believe me, the people who brought about those changes certainly feel that way. This is exactly what they had in mind. Before you can build their new socialist society, you have to tear down the old one. And there is that viewpoint. And my real problem here is that in so many cases, tax dollars are subsidizing the viewpoint. Not only is this happening, but your tax dollars are being used to pay these people. Why is that? A couple of names I'm going to mention when we come back in just a moment. Names that matter in this discussion.